Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Thank and praise the Lord today for Thursday. Happy Thursday to each and every one that have tuned in. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. So glad that you tuned in this evening. We thank and praise the Lord for this day because truly this is the day that the Lord have made. We also thank and praise the Lord. We give praise and honor to God always for Apostle Armstrong, the sponsor of this broadcast. We thank God for gracing us to play a part, have a part in it. And, you know, I just thank and praise the Lord for God is so merciful. God is so loving. God is so patient. And even in spite of what's happening in the world in this hour, this time, you need to know that God is still God. You need to also know and be encouraged. Whatever God say, that's what it going to be, you know. And I'm learning more and more that I walk with the Lord. I'm finding out because we're free moral beings. God gave us a will, that God is not going to override our will. You know, I learned that kind of late as being a believer. And when I found that out, it really helped me to understand and accept people. And not only that, whenever you're praying for somebody, you got to always remember that they have a will. And God the only one, because God is sovereign, God got a way. And God know how to change people. Or better yet, God know how to melt people's heart. That's the word I'm looking for. He can melt their heart. But if you praying, keep on praying. It used to be a son. Just keep on praying because the Lord is now. Whatever you do, don't give up. Keep the faith. You know, we've been talking about, well, really, I've been studying in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, and it have really encouraged me how that, let me pray, and that's what we're going to kind of share tonight more. We want to encourage you to persevere, you know, to keep the faith and don't give up. Father, we just thank you for this day. Truly, this is a day that you have made. And Father, we just choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you now, Father, for enlightenment. I thank you for bringing understanding. I thank you for those that have tuned into the broadcast. I declare that they will hear. They will have ears to hear and a heart to receive. This broadcast is covered with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that will be released over the airway to bring the hearing, the clearing, and the understanding. And we decree that Jesus is Lord over this broadcast. Satan is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, as we stated, we just thank and praise the Lord for this day, a day that he have made. And I don't know about you, the Bible says, he who keep his mind on the Lord will keep them in perfect peace. And like I said, in spite of what we're seeing and what's happening on this earth, you got to stay focused. That's the thing now. You got to really stay focused. You got to make and find time to spend with the Lord. That is so important. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, I believe it's the 55th chapter, it said that God won't return to him void. You know, a lot of people are praying, but listen, if you're not praying according to what is written, you're going to find yourself wondering, especially if you don't see a suddenly and immediately change, you're going to begin to doubt God. And that's why it's so important. You need to make sure that you know what is written and stand on what is written. I was in a service about a month ago and thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Remedy, wherever he may be, where he live in New York. And he gave me a word of prophecy. And I'm telling you, the word that he gave me, the first might not 3 weeks after that, at the most, it was everything but what he said. And I had to learn, well, I learned a long time ago, that when you get a prophecy, you got to know how to go, it's a process, and you got to know how to do a warfare for it, because according to Matthew 13, the Bible tells us, and I think it's Mark 4 as well, the Bible tells us, as soon as you get a word, the enemy going to come. The enemy going to come through your circumstances, and he going to do everything he can to get you to doubt. The Bible said we overcome. Listen, everything that we get from God, we have to use faith. And that's why Apostle John even said, he said, who is he that overcome the world, that he that believed that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, Jesus is the one that caused you and I to walk in the victory. And that's why it's so important, it's going to take faith. Please hear me. And faith is taking God at his word. Faith is believing what God said about you in your situation. And listen, you might have to just say it. And I found out in order for the word of God to be manifest, you got to know what the word say, but you also got to know how to decree and declare what God said. Job said, we can decree a thing and it shall be established. But make sure whatever you decreeing, it is written. Okay? But there too, again, as I stated, we're going to talk about Timothy. As I've been studying that, it has really blessed me. Timothy was a young pastor. And he was one of Apostle Paul's protege. He won his spiritual son better. He was one of his spiritual son. And Timothy, his father was a pagan. He was a Greek. But his mother and his grandmother was the one that had him in the word, taught him the word of God. But he was chosen to be a pastor, but he was a young man. And he was experienced. He was dealing with a lot of false teachers. And you know, the thing that always amazed me about Apostle Paul, now some people might not like Paul, but I like Apostle Paul because he blessed me, because when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, now according to my study, 1 Timothy, he wrote it first, and because he at that time he wasn't in prison, you know. But in 2 Timothy, Paul was back in Romans, and he was in prison when he wrote to Timothy. But like I said, what really amazed me about Apostle Paul, if you study his life, he let you know that it's never too late to receive Jesus or let Jesus come in your life or even make a change. It's never too late. Because of Paul, Apostle Paul, he always mentioned in a lot of his epistles, he was the chief of sinners. He would go around persecuting the saints, even killing the saints. And he had an encounter. He had an encounter with the Lord and how the Lord showed up in his life. Well, if you read Acts, you'll see that he was knocked off a horse on his way to go persecute some more saints. But like I said, I love him, his teaching, because in his epistle, he always talk about what he did before he got saved. But also, when I read and see how he would in prison most of the time, and he had so much a revelation that he would just, from prison, he would write letters to encourage other people. Now, that's what amazed me. And if you think about it, when you go back and study how their prison was at that time, they were prison must be in cage and stuff, where it was cold and all of that. But his spirit was so charged up with the things of God and his relationship was that he didn't let anything stop him. He said in one of his epistles, he said, my body is in chain, but my spirit is not. And that's why it's amazing if you keep your spirit full of the word, that's why you have to daily read the word and keep your mind renewed. And like I said, especially in the hour and time that we're living in, even in the midst of chaos, God still would give us peace. But like I said, Timothy was a young man, and in First Timothy, the first chapter, in the first verse, I'm reading from the King James Version, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? And then he said, and I besought thee to abide still there at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, at that time, as I stated, he was being confronted with a lot of false teachers. And Paul was encouraging him and telling him that he had to still minister and not to compromise. And we living in that time as well. And the time and the hour, there's a lot of New Age teaching going on. And that, too, again, why it's so important that you and I need to make sure that we read the Word and we know what the Word is saying. So when some of this New Age teaching, we being confronted with it, we can stand on the Word because we know what God's Word says. Now, I'm a strong believer. I believe that the methods of God change, but God's Word don't change. I was in a discussion with someone out of town today, and they were sharing some things with me, you know. And I find out a lot of time, and some minister, now listen, if the old saints say, if this shoe is not fitting you, don't take it on. But some young ministers is saying, you know, that, you know, I'm from the old school. And I agree some of the things that we were taught, it didn't line up with the Word like it should. But a lot of things that that taught me, it still stand, and it kept me always seeking God. Some of the older saints, to me, they were more firm. They didn't allow certain things to take place in the house of God. You know, I see a lot of loose things going on. You know, a lot of some of the young ministers and some young pastors, they saying now, oh, that was in the old school, and we need to change this and we need to change that. God still require holiness. God still require us to have some self-control. And there, too, again, that's why I said, even when Paul was writing to Timothy, he was telling him that he has to be bold. And he said in that third verse, like he said that they teach no other doctrine. And he was telling him, even in the fourth, he said, neither give heed to favor and endless geology, which minister question rather than godly edify, which is in the faith, so do it. And that's why it's so important that you need to know what the words say, because we got some people that we got the Muslim look confront you now. You got so many people, because sometimes I have people confronting me about certain things. Well, why the Bible says this? How you know the Bible is the Word of God? Well, if you don't get in the Word instead of the Word, well, you ain't going to know what God says. You're not going to be a good witness, a better yet, a bold witness. And even with that, Paul told him that he had to be a bold witness. He had to be a bold witness. And so, now, in that 18th verse, we're going to be kind of skipping around a little bit. But like I said, the thing that ministered to me most about this epistle to Timothy, it was to encourage him. And because, like I said, old false teachers were really coming at him. They were trying to intimidate him. They would judge him based upon his youthfulness. But Paul was encouraging him that he had to be bold and he had to really stand up. And Paul even encouraged him. If you look at that 18th verse, it said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Paul even reminded him when he was ordained, when hands were laid on him to confirm his calling. So there too, again, he was reminding him, because you could tell the way Apostle Paul read to Timothy, Timothy was in dealing with a lot. He was dealing with a lot of discouragement. He was dealing with disappointment. He was being intimidated. And now in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, it tells you that Paul even told Timothy, he said, now, Timothy, God have not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Now, I don't know about him, but I can kind of imagine some of the things he was probably dealing with, you know, because me, as when I first were called in the ministry over 47 years ago, I mean, the first thing people start throwing up in my face, God don't call women to preach. I didn't know anything about Galatians, the third chapter, when it said it's nor male or female, but we are, when it come down to in Christ, it's nor male or female. But that right there set me back. I rebelled against my calling for about my now 2 years. Because every time I got ready, some people in my family were telling me, God ain't called no woman to minister, you know. And see, there too, again, that's why if you don't know what the word said, and it always been told me, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. But the most thing you need to know, and that's why Paul would tell Timothy in remembrance, and he said, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou then might war a good warfare. Then he said, hold in faith in a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And y'all, let me tell you, you have to start with faith in God, and you have to end. The Bible said Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. You got to get this walk with God, this Christian walk, it's all about a relationship with us, with God, our relationship being restored, because as you know, Adam broke his relationship with God when him and Eve disobeyed God. Adam know what God said. Adam should, and you know, I was listening at this minister the other day, and he said something very profound. He said, you know, then nothing, when Eve ate, then nothing changed. But it was when Adam ate, that's when everything shifted. And that really ministered to me. But the point I'm making, it, when it come down to when you know what is written and you know what God done revealed to you, the enemy going to come and going to contest that. The enemy going to come. He going to contest it. He going to try to get you. He going to try to get you not to walk in a hold fast to what you know. And this is what Paul was telling him. He was telling Timothy, you got to hold fast to what was given to you. You get what I'm saying? You and see, we in this hour now, like I said, with a lot of new teaching. It's a lot of teaching, new age teaching. Listen, don't get with that. It's all kind of stuff, you know. The laws, we're in the time when a lot of the laws of being natural law, they changing it. But God said through Daniel, he spoke through Daniel, he said, we're going to come a time when the enemy going to change the laws. Things going to be, when the enemy were going to try to wear out the saints. Well, guess what? We in that hour, and we in that time. And like I said, Paul was telling Timothy, he was encouraging Timothy to hold fast. He was telling Timothy, don't even waste his time on people that is trying to question him about a lot of things. And that's something I find out. Sometimes I have had people, and I can tell that their motives is not pure. Why you do this and why you do that? Not so much because they really want to change, or they really want to know more about God, but they be wanting to see just how much you know. And it's sad when you got people like that. But there too, again, it happened like that. Because when I read it from my living Bible, Paul was telling him in that fourth verse, he said, don't let people waste time. Don't waste your time, people, in endless speculation over myth and spiritual pedigree. For these things only cause argument. They don't help people to live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all the Christians there would be filled with love that come from a pure heart and a clear conscience and sincere faith. And like I said, Paul was trying to tell Timothy what he needed to avoid. And I'm telling you, in this walk with the Lord, thank God for the Holy Spirit that abides on the inside. It comes time, sometimes you got to avoid some people. You got to sometimes, as I told someone today, sometimes you just got to be silent and don't say anything. Because sometimes people motive is not pure. But the thing about it, they were trying to dishearten Timothy because, like I said, these false teachers were bringing all these questions and everything, but they were trying to get him to throw in the towel to discourage him. But Paul was constantly encouraging Timothy. And like I said, that's what really ministered me. That's really what I'm kind of talking about tonight. We're going to go a little further with this as the Lord leads, because we're going to get into honor and dishonor. But Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep going. You know, he was telling him he needs to hold his faith, you know. And there too, again, as I stated, we have to do the same thing. Because Paul even said, and one of the things, he told Timothy how he had fought a good fight and how he finished the race and he remained faithful. And, you know, it's easy to read the word of God, but when trouble comes, when adversity comes, that's when you got to be, you got to remain faithful. You got to stay in the race. You know, anybody can decree that God is, declared that God is good. I know God this and I know this about God. But when adversity comes, it's Mark 4 in Matthew 13 says, but when the enemy come for the word, or when thing is continuing to go contrary to what you've been believing. Like I said, I was in a comfort about 3 weeks ago, a month now, more now. And everything the prophet told me for the first 3 weeks, I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, indecisive thought, doubt, all that stuff, everything was trying to show up. But I remember something God told me a long time ago. When you get a word from the Lord, you got to decree. You got to open your mouth. And see, in order to see the manifestation of the fulfillment of God's word, you have to open your mouth and you have to declare. Excuse me. You have to declare. You have to speak it. You see, we have the same creative ability to speak. When we speak, something happens. When we begin to decree and speak into the atmosphere what God said about our situation, believe it or not, the atmosphere do change. Things begin to change in the spirit realm. You might not see immediately manifestation of, but things begin to change. That's why the enemy knows only person can stop the manifestation is you and I. And that's why, and first of all, when it comes down to our faith, the Bible said faith works by love. And that's why the enemy always trying to get us out of love and get us in offenses. Come on, somebody. Get you in disobedient and rebel against you. Because if he can get you out of love, what he do, your faith is not going to be affected in everything we do. As I said in the beginning, it's by faith. Y'all, this is a faith walk. This ain't a feeling walk. This is a faith walk. You don't live by your feelings. And this was, like I said, this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. He was telling Timothy how to conduct himself, and he was telling him how he got to be steadfast in the faith. And like I said, he was reminding him. He even told him you got to stir up the gift on the inside. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like I want to preach. Sometimes I don't feel like I want to pray. I don't feel like, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm saved and not be out there doing nothing. But that's the time when you don't feel, you got to really, really, really operate in faith. Well, you have to do it all the time. Sometimes I don't feel like praising God, but I make myself praise it. Sometimes my flesh don't want to sing. I do that because it's a faith walk, and faith is based upon what God said. Do I believe and do I trust and have confidence in what he says. And like I said, this is what he was trying to even told him in that second chapter. As I tell you, I'm kind of just turning around a little bit. He even told it in that second chapter about who to pray for. And there too, again, even when it comes down to praying for leaders and things, we need to make sure we pray. And make sure your motives are pure. We're, you know, by dealing with the election and all that. There's so much being said. And I listen to people saying, well, I'm going to vote Democrat. I'm going to vote Republican. My thing is this, and I tell people this, my vote going to be on the one mostly doing what is close to what is written. Now, I know some might not be doing all of it, 100% of it, but for the most, I'm the one that is more closer to standing and sticking with what is written. That's the one to have my vote. I don't consider myself a Republican or Democrat. I am a Christian. I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God. There too, if this don't fit you, don't worry about it. So many times, y'all, we get so caught up with what somebody else thinks. I'm finding out. I have to stay focused on Jesus. When you think about and when you read the life of Jesus, Jesus stayed focused on what his assignment was. He was always saying, I do what my Father say do. I can do nothing, but it's what my Father say. Jesus always made time and spent time to know what the Father wanted him to do. And he was that example to me and you. If you and I want to walk in the victory that Jesus won for us, we have to stay focused on what the Lord say. If what we're hearing, if it's not lining up with the word of God, well, guess what? I ain't no sense you to get with it. I don't care who it's coming from. And then, like I said, this is what Paul even was telling Pete, he was telling Timothy. Now, I'm going to go to in that second chapter. I'm in 1 Timothy. Look at that fourth verse. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in that fourth verse, he said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth? Now, there too again, is God will for everybody to be saved? But let me tell you a secret. Because we have a free will. Everybody's not going to be saved. Is God will for everybody to live according to what is written? Everybody ain't going to do that. It only going to be a remedy. And it ain't going to be only a remedy because of what God will. But there too, again, as I said in the beginning, because God gave people will. We have a will. Do you not know that Satan had a will? The angel had wills? And Satan chose not to continue to walk with the Lord. The demons that came with him, were kicked out of him, they choose not to do. And God is not, as I say this so many times, God is not going to override your will. And a lot of people say, well, God need to do this. God ain't going to override your will. God will tell you and I have somebody to witness to us. He is sure in his word what is written. If you choose not to do it, guess what? That's on you. You just like you have, once you get a job, they'll tell you what time you need to be on that job, but they ain't going to make you be on that job. They ain't going to force you. It's up to you to get up on time, to prepare yourself for that job, to punch in on time. Once you get there and they tell you what requires you on that job, it's up to you. As the act of your will, you do it. You don't do it, they let you go. Where in the, that's what makes the love of God. God don't want no robots. God ain't going to make us do it. And I'm telling you, like I said, this is what really blessed me because, like I said, it's God will. And I'm going to read a little bit of my notes, a little bit of footnotes. The Bible revealed two aspects of the will of God for humankind with regard to salvation. God's perfect will, which say that he desires everyone to be saved. And his permissive will, which acknowledge that he permit many to refuse to come to Christ and receive. Listen, why do God permit? Because he gave you a will. You know, a lot of people, the Bible said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. The Bible tells us in Galatians, whatever man sow, he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap of the spirit. The Bible said, draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. What you mean, prophet? If you make and find time to read your word, God will begin to speak to you through that word. If you sit around, watch TV all day, don't spend no time, well, guess what? When adversity, persecution, when trouble come your way, it's going to be hard for you to hear God. I'm just going to tell you the way it works, and that it's not God's fault. It's a lot of people, and I know this as a fact, a lot of people offended at God because they don't know him. I watch over my word to perform it. If you don't know what God's word is saying, listen, God is a good God. He is a loving Father. I found that out. But I also found out he don't make me. He going to only do what his word said he going to do. Yeah, God is long-suffering. God is merciful. God is patient. But guess what? Believe it or not, it come a time. It's old folks that God will call time on you too. And that's why I said it's going to be a remnant of people, because some people, remember we never said a couple of weeks ago about the rich man and Lazarus the beggar, and when both of them died, the rich man lift up his eyes in hell, and Lazarus in a place, paradise, is other word, in heaven, and conversation was going on. The rich man was having a conversation with Abraham and was telling Abraham he was in flame. And he was burning up and all of that. He was able to see and feel where he was at. And that's why I said there too again, the enemy has something. Or when you die, you won't know you dead. Don't pay all that stuff, no matter. They just, at the enemy got people. But there too again, like I said, Paul was encouraging Tim and telling Timothy what to do. He also was telling him about bringing order in the church. Now, what we're going to do, for, you know, we're going to skip a little bit. I tell you, I'm doing that. So I'm kind of skipping around a little bit because I want to. My point is to see how Paul was constantly encouraging Timothy and telling Timothy as a young man that he had to bring some order too. Y'all listen, God is a God of order. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that are going on in this mind we're going to say. Some of the things that's going on in church is not of God. The Bible tells us. The Bible, even some of the things that being taught in the church, I'm going to go and say this in. So I might not like what I'm finna say, but I'm going to go and say it and get it out. If you don't like it, well, you just don't like it. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But then he also tells us the purpose of the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What are you talking about? There too again. We, the apostles, the prophet, the pastor, supposed to teach the people how they supposed to conduct themselves in the church, and when they get out the church, when they at home. Come on, somebody. That's part of it. We got to teach it. Some things people just, I don't have some people, I don't know. I don't know how to do no spiritual warfare. God gonna do, y'all, God is not gonna do everything. God done did everything that need to be done through Jesus. We have our part to play in the body. Do you hear me? You have your part to play. I have my part to play. Now, I'm going to read them same verses. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible, Ephesians 4, and start at the 11th verse. Because I want you to see this, because we have this. You have to be taught. That's why I just said, how can you hear if you don't have a preacher? And how the preacher, if he ain't been sick? God, even in Ezekiel, God said he would give a shepherd after his own heart. When Jesus came through, Jesus was hard on the leaders at that time because they were some of what they did. They motives weren't pure. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to boss other, have dominion, or better yet, wanted to boss the people, and God was against it. But in Ephesians 4th chapter, I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible, the 11th verse. And that 11th verse says, he is the one who gave the gift to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teacher. Their responsibility, listen, just like now, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. That's the responsibility of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, to teach the people their responsibility to reveal God to them. God responsibility to man and man responsibility to God. And when you read 1 and 2 Timothy and read that, you're going to find out God gives certain order. Even in Ephesians, he tells fathers. First, he tells husband and wife their responsibility. Both husband and wife supposed to submit to God. Then the husband supposed to love the wife as Jesus loved the church. You know, I hear people say a lot of times, yeah, I know what the Bible said, but listen, when you put the but in there, you cancel out the first thing. Whatever God tells us to do, if we do it and if we will to do it, his grace available to help us to do it. And see, this is what Paul was trying to, that's why he said, hold fast. Remember what you were taught, Timothy. You hold fast to that. Don't let these false teachers come in and persuade you to go another way. Because that's what they were trying to confuse him, to try to get him to stop doing. And Paul said, don't do it. And like I said, with this new age teaching, we got some, oh, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to give tithing off. Oh, you ain't got to give no money in the church. Y'all, you don't listen at all of that stuff. Now, I agree some people, I'm just telling you now that some teaching wrong, but stick with what the word say. And if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit abides on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do and what not to do. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. You want to know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? He gonna come in agreement with what Jesus said, with what was written. He going to make it real to you. That's how you, he going to show you. He'll show you. If you want to know, that's why sometimes, you know, I hear some people say, well, you can't ask this one that. Some people you can't. I don't get it. The Bible tell me if I like knowledge, wisdom, I can ask God. Jesus, disciple, always would question Jesus about stuff. So some of this new age teaching, you can't talk to the leader. You don't question what I do. That's not God. That's a spirit of error. That is not God. If you don't have nothing, if your motives are pure, if your heart is pure, you ain't got nothing to hide. Sometimes people call and ask me questions. I tell them, if I don't know, I say, I don't know. Let me pray about it. Let me seek the Lord about this. And I call somebody and I be in the Word because I want to know. But some people, no, you don't quit. No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. But like I said, there too again, and that's why I love it. And there too again, like I said, Paul was telling Timothy also, it had to be self-control. And y'all, self-control is so important. Self-control is so important. Self-control is as important aspect of living the Christian life. We live in a pagan and often a hostile world. And that's what's happening now. We're dealing with a lot of paganism. We're dealing with a lot of hostages. So many things happening in the world. But we got to stay above reproach. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. We need wisdom. We need discernment. We need to learn the creed. We need that. Because I'm telling you, we're living in that time. Trouble is here. The enemy is raging. We're dealing with a lot of violence. And then, you know, I'm kind of, not like I said, I've been kind of, you know, going through the Bible, finding certain things. We're going to go in, and even in 1 Timothy, when it comes, I'm still in 1 Timothy, but look at the 6th verse. See, like I said, he was dealing with a lot of false teaching, like we're dealing with a lot of new age teaching now. And they were talking about when it come down, let's look at that third verse in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 3, verse. It's if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome word, even the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but that. And see, there too again, Paul also was telling Timothy how to recognize, how to discern when you hear false teaching. Because they might add a little bit of light. The Bible says Satan will transform himself into an angel of light. Anybody telling you, you can go out here and fornicate and you ain't married, or you can cut out on you. Now you know that ain't God. You don't have to give tithe enough. If the Bible don't tell you that, it's even a big thing about that. You don't have to give tithe. That was up under the law. When Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, Moses wasn't even on the scene at that time. See, there too again, you can't listen at all of some of the stuff you hear it. You know, I have had people where I'm praying and I'm asking God to send me a husband. But now, if you have a desire for a spouse, God don't have a problem with that. But make sure you want somebody first, or you want somebody saved. If you're a saved person, you want a saved man, or you want a saved woman. You don't want somebody that ain't saved. Because if they ain't saved, as Jesus said in St. John 8 chapter, they're going to do as their father, who is the devil. You see, just because you go to church, y'all, going to church alone don't mean you're going to heaven. We got some people go to church, and they just in there. They go because it's traditional. It's the thing to do. Not so much going to be equipped or going there to learn or going there because they really want the Lord. So there, too, again, as I stated. And then he gone down, and like I said, I'm in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Hallelujah. I might need to go back. Well, you know, we're gonna stick in the 6th chapter. But anyway, then he gone down to that 6th verse. He said, be godliness with contentment. It's a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out there too again. And I learned something. As I said, I learned walking with the Lord. It's a process. The Bible said we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. And it's a process. You ain't going to get everything overnight. It takes time. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. But then, and then he goes down to tell, but they that, in that ninth verse, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, would drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covenant after, they have earned error from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There too again, we live in the, even with that, it's sad, but it's true. When it come down to money. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. I want you to hear what I'm finna say, because some people, the Bible tell us the love of money. The thing about it, if you allow yourself to be so, could want money so bad, when it causing you to miss out on service, I want you to hear what I'm saying. That's what comes when it's wrong. When I'm going to make a hustle so I can make me some money, and your hips ought to be in church. Now that's what is wrong. Because you follow what I'm saying? You need to be in church. Like I said, Paul didn't say that money lead to evil. Rather, the love of money lead to evil. When we make time, this is what I'm saying, this is in my notes, when we make time to grow material life while allowing our spiritual life to decline, cutting back on church participation, prayer, Bible study, and fellowship, then we are demonstrating that we love money. We supposed to pursue the spirit over the natural. And see, like I said there too again, you know, just like we live in the time, and it's nothing wrong, you know. I learned to get involved with football, sports, because I have one grandson play basketball and another play football. I know the other week, my grandson, he in college, and he had a game, and my son-in-law called me. He said, you want to go in on Saturday, you know, if I don't have to minister on Sunday, you know, I go, you know, but I still go to church on Sunday. But this particular Sunday, there too again, as the Bible says, men is led by the Spirit of sons of God. So that Saturday when he called me, the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't go. not, don't go today. You can watch the game because they record it. But I didn't go because God would tell me, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay and make, you know, because you got the minister's son. But see, we living in a time, and I was listening to somebody, and I'm going to quote them because I believe they were telling the truth. It's amazing. Have you noticed how the enemy done sneaked in? Where, you know, I remember when my children used to play baseball and stuff, softball and stuff. At first, they did not have practice on Wednesday because they know most of the people would be in Bible study. But slowly but surely, I watched how the enemy got in there, and they start on Wednesday. Have you noticed how they have these games on Sunday? If you just sit back and observe it, the enemy have went to extreme measures to interfere in people's time with God. A lot of parents, and rightly divided, understand what I'm saying, y'all. I'm trying to show you, like Paul was telling Timothy, trying to show him how the enemy works. Have you noticed how the enemy now with children, and there's nothing wrong with your child being, you know, taking part in sports. There's nothing wrong with that. But have you noticed how the enemy try to have it on the day, have them to practice or play ball on the day that it's time to be in service or be in Bible study? If you just sit back and observe it, if you just sit back and observe what he's doing, he know if you get in that service and you get that word, you're going to be better prepared and you're going to know how to fight him. He don't want that. That's what he's trying to avoid. He don't want you to spend time with God. He don't want you to be in these service. And I hear this man of God say, he said, in the beginning, it wasn't that they used to have sports on Sunday. He said, but the enemy got in there. And he said, now, I like football. He said, but I am not going to neglect going to church to go to a game. You ever notice when they had a playoff? You might have some mess and something, they'll go to church, but they sitting up watching their clock, want the pastor to hurry up with the word so they can get home and have they what you call it, a football party. So I guess that's what you call it. I don't know, I might be quoting it wrong. But they do that. But can't you see how the enemy is trying to interfere and trying to keep you out the word? Now, I know somebody getting this. Now, somebody might say, I don't believe that. Yeah. Hey, that's between you and God, but I'm just showing you. And this is what Paul was trying to get Timothy, and that's why he was saying about money. I mean, you got some people, and I remember when I was working it, and I worked third shift, and I won't forget, I had not worked that Saturday morning. I worked third. I worked from like 12 that night to 6 that morning, that Saturday, that noon. Then the boss man asked me to come back at 6 that evening and work the 12 that night. I'd never forget. When I got off at 12 o'clock that Saturday night, when you know it was Sunday morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't you never do that no more. And that been every bit over 30 or 40 years ago. I learned that. If somebody listening, do not let the enemy. See, the Bible tells you that God supply all of your need. If you're born again, believe, you got to learn how to believe and trust God. Matthew 6:33, read of it in its entirety. He said, don't take no thought what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. That 33rd verse said we're supposed to seek out what God say, what God want us to do, how God want us to do. But the enemy go to extreme. He want to take the place of God. He don't want you. If your church require you to be there on Sunday, he don't want you there. And if not there, you know what? And the enemy gonna make you good. Or you go run this little hustle, you'll make $100. You'll make $100. See, he got to make the temptation. He got to make it worthwhile. And that's what he do. And you got some people. Most jobs will pay you more to work on Sundays and anything. Because guess what? The devil don't want you in church. And some don't even realize, oh, how we get on the sin. But anyway, don't want you in church. The enemy know if you get in the church that is teaching this word, and showing you how to walk in this word, to get closer to God, to see the manifestation, to get your prayers. He know if you, he can't do nothing with you. And some people don't realize it. I'm serious. Like I said, on the football game, I got to get home. I got to get home. I need to get home. We got the football coming on. You'll go sit and watch the football for 1 to 2 to 3 hours needed. But in church, you can't sit in the church a good hour. Then you're saying the preacher preaching to, y'all, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't see what the enemy doing to you? He don't want you to get the word. He don't mind you sitting watching the TV 3 or 4 hours, but he don't want you to read your Bible no 3 or 4 hours. Sit back and just observe this. And like I said, this is what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. Then he's going to tell him in the 11th verse, I'm coming in. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. He was telling Timothy as a young man. He said, flee this and walk in righteousness. He was telling Timothy, because he know Timothy was going to be tempted as a young man. Yeah, this young man, Timothy, was faster. He done made up in his mind. He want to live for God. But and Paul would let him know, you're going to be tempted. You're going to have to flee some things. And I'm telling you, if you want to walk in the things of God, listen, you can't do everything everybody doing. You can't be in every conversation. You can't go everywhere everybody going. Not if you want to be strong in the Lord. You can't do it. And this is what blessed me about how Paul was dealing with Timothy. And he was telling him, you got to flee these things. What? When it come down, the love of money. Come on, somebody. When it come down to lust for things, you got to flee it. He said, when he even make you think about it, get away from it. We got too much. We got a lot of girls having children out of wedlock. Having a baby is a good thing, but let me tell you something. Most of the time when you see them, they have them children out of wedlock. If that mom and daddy don't stay together, somebody else got to come in and take care of that child. And sometimes they come in and abuse that child, abuse that mother. Come on, somebody. It's all kind of, y'all, God be trying to help us. The laws and principle of God is not to keep you from enjoying life, but it's to protect you. It wants you to enjoy life. I done seen so many girls that went through it. They had children, fell in love young, them and the guy break up. Then the mother left the holy bag. Or sometimes the guy might take the child holy bag, but that poor child going from pillar to pillar, being torn between mom and dad. It's sad. This is the time that we live in, but this can be avoided. Oh, yeah? Somebody might as well turn me off by now, but I'm just telling you the truth. This is the time that we live in. All the laws and principles of God is to protect and help us. Jesus said, I came that you would have life, having more abundance. But you ain't going to enjoy no abundant life if you rebel it. I don't know the laws and principles of God. Well, I got to stop. I got to stop. My time out. I'm going to continue this after the Lord allow me. But listen, let me tell you something. When you and I rebel against the laws and the principle that is written in this Bible, we don't only make it hard for ourselves. We don't only suffer, but anybody in our arena going to suffer with us. And that's why I love what Paul was trying to encourage Timothy as a young man, what to avoid and what he need to confront, what he need to persevere. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Y'all, you got to persevere, and there's some things you got to avoid, but watch the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for those that tune in. I pray even after we go off the air, you continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to them. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to bring the truth and the conviction in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this was Apostle William Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and thank you for tuning in.